Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to be a member of our community, head on over to missionmatters.com/community to apply. All right, so today I have a very special episode. We're welcoming back onto the show Jason Kennedy, who is the president and CTO over at Trackside Systems. And I'm proud to announce and say an author in our most recently released Mission Matters Business Leaders Edition best-selling series. Hey, Jason, first off, I just want to say welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to be back.
All right, Jason. So we got a lot to cover today. Of course, we're going to talk about the book and what you wrote. So Modernize or Die, 8 Principles for Doing Business the Way Your Customers Want. So we'll get into that. Of course, we're going to talk about Trackside Systems and the updates you have going there. I know you guys are growing like crazy. And then also we got a little surprise too for the audience, but we'll save that for the end. But we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with what we like to call our Mission Matters Minute. So Jason, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Jason, what mission matters to you?
Well, modernizing motorsports is our mission. And, we try to provide all the technology and tools that racetracks need to grow and thrive.
Yeah, it's a great story. And it's one when I think about, we talk about user experience a lot when we're talking about whether it's apps or online or other things. And what you're doing is you're really creating a new user experience for many of the race car fans out there, motorsport fans out there. And we'll talk about what that looks like as well. But I don't want to assume that maybe some of our newer audience or listeners caught some of our previous work together. So maybe just start in the beginning. Like, how did you get started as an entrepreneur?
So like a lot of entrepreneurs, I kind of fell into it. And it all started for me in the early 2000s. I was part of a car club that started having some events at racetracks. And there was a gentleman named Bob who organized those events and kind of reached a point with his family life that he couldn't really do it anymore. And so I stepped up, volunteered to start organizing events. And next thing you know, we went from one or two events a year to 10 to 20 to 30 to 40. And as the time kept going on, it became a lot to manage. So we built this little system for ourselves to help make things more efficient, organize our data and all of that, called Trackside, which we never intended to have as a product that we'd be selling. But then enough people kept asking us about it, you know, where'd we get our software and can they buy it? And for the longest time we said no, until we finally said, you know what, we need to start saying yes.
How did you know that this was going to be a business for you? Because I feel like, you hear some of these stories, I would argue, I don't know, maybe it was in the hobby or side hustle or side gig space for a long time with you, as you mentioned. And then at some point, like you cut the cord to the day to day and you went full time. Like, how did you know?
That's an important question for all the entrepreneurs out there, because I know there's a lot of people that go through a side hustle and they want to to make it their full-time thing with their passion. And for me, I it was a big leap. And I recently read a book from someone I look up to, Matt Higgins, and his whole theme was burn the boats. And sometimes you have to go all in on something and go for it. And that's what I did in 2019 and haven't looked back since.
Yeah. And it easier said than done, like burning the boats, going all in. And that thing that I'm still thinking, Jason, is Mission Matters? Like, am I supposed to be doing all these interviews? Like, I'm 6,000 interviews in and I'm like, man, it's still a big commitment and it's still a lot. And it's one of those things where you have to make that, every day you walk outside the house or sit in front of your desk, if you're working at home, whatever, you have to make that commitment. And you basically have to say yes to the job every day, in my opinion, as an entrepreneur. What keeps you strong and motivated and going when the times gets tough? Because I know every entrepreneur has the ups and downs.
Sure. And a lot of what you're talking about is imposter syndrome, and a lot of entrepreneurs have it. I still get it. It's you know, and I think ultimately you just have to say you're where you're meant to be. And, you just have to have faith in that. And, you know, it's not always easy in a day job either. So, everyone, you know, wants to look at the lifestyle of entrepreneurship, of all the fancy cars and yachts and houses and all that. And it's really not that at all. That's kind of a internet sensation type of thing. But, just what keeps me going is the fact that it's something I own. It's something that, I've committed myself to, and I can't let my customers down. So I don't have a boss anymore, but my customers are my boss. So I just, you know, what keeps me motivated is making them happy.
Yeah, it's weird. I think we're kind of cut from the same cloth on that one. It's like I always say, use the analogy. I'm like, you know, I'm on this train, and it's not like I get to just, you know, step off, because there's a lot of people depending on me, whether it's my clients, my authors, my podcast hosts, like, you know, the people that we interview that give us their time to come on the shows. Like, there's a lot of people depending on you, so you don't get to just kind of step off that train.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's get a little bit into, before we get into Modernize or Die, I want to talk a little bit more about Trackside Systems, because I think that'll kind of set the stage for, you know, some of the things that you wrote. So maybe tell us a little bit about some of the challenges you've seen in the industry that you sought to help alleviate some of the problems and challenges for your clients.
So one thing that's kind of unique about motorsports is somehow, as other industries have gone on to modernize and do things digitally, motorsports just sort of didn't. And I don't know if it's because the right solutions weren't there in order to do it, which is the gap that we're filling now, or what the case was. But at any rate, the real problem is inefficiency of how motorsports events are run, because in many cases they're still being done the way they were in the 1960s.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just show up at the gate and have your cash ready, and we're going to hand you some papers and off you go. But that process takes forever. It's very inefficient. So our number one goal, with any customer is to make their front gate operation as fast as and as streamlined as possible. And part of that is encouraging customers to buy tickets and register for events online. And the side of motorsports that a lot of people don't see is the racers and the participants. So those racers that are going to compete, you know, they've got different paperwork they have to fill out, waivers and tech forms and all of those things. And so when you just clog up a gate at a racetrack with everybody trying to do that all at the same time, it really bogs things down. So that's where Trackside comes in and digitizes all of that. All of that can be done before you even get to the racetrack. You simply scan a QR code and off you go. And it takes a lot to educate the customers about that too. So we have to be very supportive of our racetrack customers in helping, you know, to educate their racers and spectators that they have an option to go online now. But one of the early problems with that too was that just based on the historical way things were done and some of the demographics of the age groups that are in certain areas of motorsports, you know, we get told all the time, well, nobody wants to do anything online. So right in the beginning, we found a product deficiency, because if everyone won't do things online, well, how do we do this at the gate? And that's why we built a whole point of sale system around that that still allows people to pay cash and do things at the gate, but at least much more efficiently than they were before.
Yeah. And as you go further and further down this line of modernization for the tracks and like, what's been the result? Because I feel like sometimes, and I'll pick on myself, like sometimes I don't, as a business owner, I don't know what I don't know. So I'm guessing that I'm probably saying, well, some things don't work like that only because, and this is the kiss of death, right? We've always done things this way, or we've tried that before and it didn't work. And we're not like, we have this crystal ball, right? Like that things don't change. So when you told me that, I'm probably thinking to myself, like, I bet you there was a tipping point at some point when people did start and do start doing things online. Like, what's been the result? I'm just curious.
So that can vary dramatically in different areas of the country and the demographics associated with that and everything. But, you know, by and large, once the racers and fans are realize that they have an option to go online,
yeah,
most track owners are surprised at how many people are willing to do that. And I think that the reason for that is literally everywhere else around you in the world has an option to buy something online before you go somewhere. You know, whether that's concert tickets, airline tickets. I mean, you can't just show up at a concert and expect to get in. You can't show up at an airport and think you're just going to buy a ticket and go somewhere. It doesn't work that way anymore. So people have these experiences in other parts of their life and their daily activity. And I don't know if for some reason, you know, some of the people in motorsports think that no one does anything except racing. As much as we'd like to think that, you know, we're that dedicated to racing, we do other things too. So, you know, once they actually embrace it and the track helps communicate with their customers, we see a very high uptick in online sales, well beyond what they ever thought. I mean, sometimes 40% is a big number, but sometimes we get some that are 60 and 70%, and that's a much better number.
But just based off of what you're telling me, the original problem or original challenge that you were trying to alleviate, which is how do you create a better user experience? Like people just literally getting into their seats or registered if they're a racer or all these other things, even any percentage is going to speed that up. So like either way, like the regardless of the adoption rate, it still increases. And I would imagine it increases like satisfaction. Then you can add things like, I don't know, reward programs, all these other things. Like, am I off on that?
No, you're spot on. And, you know, Trackside has a loyalty point system built into it that the tracks can, they don't have to use it, but it's an option. Yeah. And so we have some customers that have started to use that, and it's still a new concept. So, you know, we're still, you know, kind of seeing what works with that in some cases, but we have a couple customers in their second or third year of loyalty points, and they see a good return from it. That it works. I mean, that's why McDonald's does it of all things. And
of course, you
know, it's so prevalent everywhere that, you know, our whole vision is we want to equip these racetracks with the tools to succeed in business, the way that every other industry is doing. And so someone needed to step in and do it. And so why not us?
Yeah. So that's great. And thank you for sharing that story. And I want to get a little bit into the book because now that this just ties right in. So Modernize or Die, 8 principles for doing business the way your customers want. So for everybody watching, we're not going to go through all 8. I'm going to read them pretty fast right now, but then just to give you a flavor for it, and we'll pick out a couple of them. But hey, you want all 8, you want to dig in, obviously pick up a copy of the book. We do sell books and we'll have a link in the show notes. Shameless plug there, Jason. all right. So some the top 8. So be your own first customer, be the one to solve the problem, see your business through your customer's lens, do business the way your customers want you to, foster customer loyalty. Your email list is gold. Make decisions with data. Don't overlook cash flow. So were these steps, as I kind of went through your work and I've been waiting to ask this question to you, were these steps things that you kind of knew going into entrepreneurship, or when you sat down to get this written, were these things that you kind of looked back and you're like, yeah, these are some of the things that I wish I'd known, or maybe like a combination? Like let us inside your thinking and how you came up with this topic.
Yeah. So most of those principles are things I learned the hard way.
Everybody that's listening, this is like the pick on yourself show over here. We're not, you know, this isn't about, hey, entrepreneurs that have made it. It's about, hey, we learned the hard way too. Go ahead, Jason. I just always like to pull that out because I appreciate the humility.
No, I mean, early on with our events business is where most of those concepts came from. And, you know, we didn't grow from 1 or 2 to 40 or so events a year just by happenstance. We had to have our little, you know, fumbles and stumbles and little issues and all of that. And and we did. And that's where most of that came from. I mean, I had some amount of experience with entrepreneurship in the tech space before really being in the motorsport space, but they're very different industries. And so yeah, most of those come from real life experiences of problems that we had to solve as we grew a large driving school operation.
And so let's, I want to pick out a few of these, be your own first customer. So let me into that one.
Yeah. So when we were deciding to take Trackside to market, you know, obviously we built it as an internal tool for Auto Interest, and that proved to be more valuable than we ever could have imagined, because I think, especially for tech startups, one of the big challenges is how do you get that first proof of concept and that first customer that's that's willing to try your product and accept the, you know, the quirks and issues that are going to come from a first generation product, right? Yeah. So in our case, we were able to be our own first customer. And I think there are opportunities to do that in different capacities and different industries. But, you know, we developed an incredibly deep understanding of the needs of a motorsports organization by being one and by building a system around that. You know, if we weren't in the motorsports space, and a lot of our competitors are not, it shows in the product. You know, the fitness for purpose of the product really, really shines through, and it makes it a much easier sell, and it makes it go much more smoothly for your first real customers.
That's a lot like as we are building Mission Matters. And when we were doing those initial books, the reason why we did the initial books was to promote and to bring together our community into those books. And it really was just a promotion tool for Mission Matters in the beginning. And that's what we thought it always would be. But we were really testing the product. And especially that first book, man, that was we thought it was going to be a couple months in, a year and a half later, I think it took us to do it. But we were, you know, working out the kinks of the product and everything else, and which made it all different going forward, because again, we were thinking we were able to design it around our needs and what we'd want, and then we knew how our clients would also be as well. So I can definitely empathize on that one. And so looking at that, I mean, this one, we're going to take these out of order, of course, but making decisions with data. So now you have, just to kind of continue the narrative, so now you have all of this deep understanding. Obviously, you know, there's never a point where you stop trying to make it better. That's a given. But you have this deep understanding, like you have all this data. Like, what's next in your process?
So using data is not a new concept in business, but it's one that's been difficult, because if you don't have a system that's capturing the right data points in your business, it's very hard to make data-driven decisions, obviously. So by having the right tools that capture the right data points at different parts of your business process, you're enabling yourself to have better visibility into what's going on. And that concept is easy to understand on the surface, but when you really dig into it, you know, you could have an event in motorsports and say, oh, that felt like it went really well, and those stands looked really full. And then you look at the numbers and you're like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't that great, or, you know, compare it to something else. You know, one of the old things that some of the track owners we work with have told me they would do during larger events is they would go walk through their parking lot and they would look and see where all the license plates were from all the cars in there to try to figure out where people were coming from. So if you think that's pretty funny, right? Like,
yeah, that is funny. There. That's cool though. Like, and who would know that nuance? That's really cool.
Yeah. So they're walking around and like taking a tally sheet. Okay. There's one from Ohio, one from Indiana, you know, whatever they're doing. And if you use a system like Trackside, you just instantly have that at your fingertips. Nobody has to go do that. Nobody has to go miscount something or say, oh, it's too hot out here, I don't feel like walking through all these cars, or, you know, did 10 people come in this van, or did one person come in this van? Yeah. You know, there's so much error that can come from that, or if it was a rental car or whatever. But with Trackside, you have the real data of where people are coming from. So when you're trying to make decisions of where should I buy advertising, or how do I make marketing decisions and things like that, you have real data to work with, and it's not this flawed, you know, kind of anecdotal sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's great. So let's look into this one. And this, to me, I mean, I talk about this all the time. And for people that have been, the reason I'm pulling this one out, and you don't know this, Jason, but my long-term listeners that are glued to this know, anytime I get to talk about an email list, like, I just makes me smile from ear to ear, because my biggest regret in business is that we were probably 3 years into business, a media company, right? 1,500 plus episodes at that point. And we didn't make use of our email list. We had a list. We didn't send out a single newsletter. I kicked myself for that. Like, that was wasted time. And obviously we're in the media business, like wasted eyeballs, right? Our business. But what's the significance of the email list to you?
So one thing we noticed in our driving school program very early on is there's kind of a cycle to it. So what will happen is you might get somebody that starts driving in or racing in a series or driving in a certain program. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're in their late teens, early 20s. Maybe they still live at home, or maybe they're on their own, but they've got more disposable income, you know, kids and a family and a house maybe haven't happened yet, all those sorts of things.
Life hasn't hit them yet. I got it.
Right. They still get to play.
Yeah.
So what happens is, though, then, you know, there's, you know, marriages, houses, kids, whatever,
life,
you know, life happens. And then, so those people kind of disappear for a while, but then, you know what, they end up coming back. And it's because you kept them on your email list and they're still staying current and kind of following what's going on with your motorsports organization, whether it's, you know, a more educational and recreational driving school like we have, or whether it's a competitive race series. That's how these things work. And we see it time and time again. So it's, how do you stay in touch with these people? And so when somebody's on cycle of participating in the motorsports events and someone else is off cycle and they're not, then, you know, oftentimes those will flip. So it's like, how do you keep your spots full in your events? Well, it's by building that list. And when you use Trackside, that just happens automatically. So when somebody signs up for something, they're in your database, they're in your system, that's your private database, and you can market and remarket, you know, to those customers. And the same concept applies for fans. So, you know, fans are a little more fickle because, you know, they don't have to spend thousands of dollars on a race car, right? Like they
come
and go as they please. But, you know, staying in touch with people, letting them know what's going on at your racetrack, give them reasons to come back. Maybe you're putting on some unique show or something. But just building that list, you know, historically, and just growing and growing and growing, casts a wider and wider net every year that you add people to that database. And who wouldn't want that?
For sure. And it's, and it also builds to me when I think about like, what we, what I missed in the beginning was it kind of starts to build that brand affinity, right? For the, for even for, the, you know, the racetrack in this case, and for and memories, right? Because some of those, you know, thinking about like the cycle. So if I, if we continue that cycle, I'm guessing possibly some of those individuals who come back, their kids are going to get older and maybe they'll want to race in their teenage years. And maybe that'll, then the cycle starts again, assuming that they take interest. And especially if their parents are taking them to the track in the first place, then the likelihood that if dad raced and, you know, is part of that culture, maybe the a teenage, you know, daughter or son may want to, like that all just kind of keeps it in the same ecosystem. And that email list keeps you in front of them, whether they have the time and they're just opening the email and thinking about, man, I wish I could make it out, but I'm busy, or like, you know, whatever. It keeps them in the game, right?
Right. Yeah. And layered on top of that, in motorsports, you know, a key part of the business model is sponsorships and partnerships, right? So the bigger your database of eyes on your track and your content, the more you have to offer a partner that may come along too. So you can tell them, hey, we've got this many people that we can reach digitally in addition to people at the track.
So it's just, it's even another another profit center too. So that, I mean, all right. So last one that I'm going to pull out, at least from the writing, that is to foster customer loyalty. And where I want to go with this one, Jason, is I want to go a little bit deeper into the, you mentioned in the beginning, but a little bit deeper into the rewards systems. And I know that for everybody watching, maybe you don't own a racetrack or maybe that, but I the reason why I want Jason to go further into this, number one, is because he's been working in that space for a long time. But I challenge everybody that's watching this or listening to this to think about how to apply some of these ideas or some of the things that Jason's seen through his clients in your own business. Like when I read this and I was thinking about it, I'm like, man, how do I create a loyalty program at Mission Matters? Like that's my challenge for myself. For everybody listening, I challenge you to think about how you can kind of take some of this knowledge Jason gives us and apply it to your own business. So no pressure, Jason. Like what's not just the benefits, but what are some of the things you've seen and why is it so important?
Yeah, so there's a lot of data out there about loyalty types of programs. And so I've attended trade shows for not just the motorsports industry, but other industries. I've read different case studies that have been done on this topic. And I've really tried to educate myself thoroughly on it in order to figure out the best way to implement it. And the moral of the story that I would distill it down to is a little bit goes a long way. And the easiest way to look at that is a spending-based program. So if you have especially a consumer-oriented business, you know, even if you give the equivalent of 1 or 2% back, you know, as a rebate or a coupon, that goes a long way, and customers appreciate that. I mean, in this day and age of prices going up on everything and inflation, and all of that, if a customer has an option to do X or Y, and X has a loyalty points program and Y doesn't, they're going to do X.
Yeah.
And they just feel that, you know, the organization or company they're doing business with is making a commitment to them in addition to them making a commitment to the company. And it's really kind of an emotional thing, in a sense. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a ton. So it can be after you spend $100, you get a $1 coupon back. Or, you know, maybe it's a little more, a little less in some cases. It depends on what you're selling and what margins you have available to work with. But it also doesn't have to be directly monetary. It can also be where you accumulate points for doing different activities, whether that's purchasing something or engaging in some way. And then maybe there's prizes available. It could be entries in a drawing. It could be free product. It could be gift cards. It could be any number of different things, but, you know, just don't underestimate, you know, that doing something is better than nothing, I guess is what I would say. So even if you think you can't really afford to do much in a loyalty program, that's okay. It doesn't have to be a ton.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because I think about, because in preparing for that question for you, I was thinking, I went back and I thought about like the programs that I'm either a part of or that hit me most. And this is just a personal thing that I'm not saying there's one way to do it or not, but one company, so we do a lot of B2B. So one of the companies that we purchase a lot of audio, like voiceovers or things like that for our production, they donate a portion of it to this nonprofit called, I think, Tree Nation off the top of my head. And they use, so let's say we spend $100 with them, they might use like $2 of that, like you're saying, a couple percent to buy trees. And so there is actually a Mission Matters forest out there, and we have like trees that are named and that we see when they get planted and things like that. And that adds it. So now every time I do business with that company, I've, you know, if I have to, exactly like you said, X, if I have to choose between one company and another, all things being equal, assuming the products are similar and, you know, pretty good, and they're delivering on their promise, I'm going to plant a tree all day long. Like for sure. I don't even think about it, to the point to where they have me so loyal that I haven't shopped their pricing or anything in probably 2 years. Instead, all I do when we spend money with them is I'm looking at, oh, we got X amount of trees now. This is awesome. And I'm seeing our CO2 like carbon, you know, offset that we're doing based off of planting those trees. So the reason I'm going so in depth in that is because there's ways to do it. Like there's ways to do it, and there's ways that don't necessarily cost a lot of money. Like that particular loyalty program I talked about right there, they have a B2B division of it. So that's something people could sign up if they wanted to, or there's plenty of other ones. So I just think it's a great idea. And if somebody's not doing it, I think that should be on the list. Like that can increase brand loyalty for sure.
Sure. And some of it's just about engaging with your customer in any capacity. I mean, anything that it's not just a one-way transactional type of a sale is good.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I just have to say it has been great having you back on the show and getting into this. Are we going to, you know, spoil it a little bit, the project we've been working on a bit? What do you think? I'm in if you are.
I don't know why we wouldn't.
Come on. I'll let you announce it, man. I always get to have all the fun. I'm going to let you announce it.
All right. So we're working on a collaboration project, and I'm going to tag some of you that I'd like to participate on LinkedIn here. but we want to write a book all about motorsports. So I was very thrilled with how my chapter turned out of the Mission Matters book. I just participated in, and I've never seen anything that kind of lifts the curtain so you can see the behind the scenes business of motorsports. And I think that there's a lot of great information out there. A lot of customers that are customers of Trackside and other colleagues I work with in the motorsports space, I really would like to get the word out there and help people really understand what makes motorsports tick. And so we're going to try to put together an entire book of a variety of authors from all different walks of motorsports about all that.
Oh man, I'm so thrilled about this. And then it'll be my first time out to PRI. Come on, how many days do we got? I don't have it up. It's like what, 70 something days now? I'm starting the countdown internally with my team to go into it. I'm like, it's a huge racing event, industry event, and I'm excited for it. And excited to meet all the new authors as we start creating content. And this will be, we're in the motorsport business. I'm so pumped and excited. I was talking to the team, and I'm like, you know what? As we start creating this content, we're going to add another section to the missionmatters.com website. So there'll be a motorsports tab. Like, we're going to, you know us, Jason, we don't do it small. We're going to do as much as we can to get the word out, to make a whole lot of noise and to get involved, because that's my favorite thing. And I grew up, for everybody that's watching, I don't talk about this too often, but I grew up in that industry. My dad owned an auto body shop growing up, and I'm from Detroit. So I grew up going to the Woodward Dream Cruises and going to all the things that, like, I'm in the car culture growing up my entire life. So to get back to it, like, if somebody had me going back to the email list, I don't know if this is going too far back earlier in the conversation, but if I'd have been on somebody's email list, I got drugged back into motorsports. I'm back. Come on, where am I going to a race? So
there you go.
Oh man. Well, Jason, again, it has been wonderful having you back on the show. Looking forward to continuing to work with you to promote this book, of course. Also the next book we're going to be doing on motorsports and beyond. If somebody wants to follow up and learn more about Trackside or connect with you or your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
So tracksidesystems.com has everything you need to know about Trackside. If you'd like to connect with me, I'm on LinkedIn. I don't really do any other social media besides that, so I'm pretty easy to find on LinkedIn, so hit me up there.
Fantastic. And we'll put all those links in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, and experts, and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, you know, why they do what they do, what gets them up and fired up in the morning to get up out there and out their bed and make a difference. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Jason, again, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Until the next time.
All right. Thanks, Adam.